Now.
Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Brazil just struck out his seventh man.
Good looking slider tonight, that's for darn sure.
These last couple of starts for Chris, you're reminded he's a pitcher, not just a guy who can throw 97, 98 miles an hour when he's right.
Hey, Zoe. What's up?
How are you?
How you doing? Sup, Zoe?
What's up? Time out.
Why are we timing out?
Before we get to sports here. As people could see on the NBC Sports Boston feed.
You like this hat, don't you? You love this hat.
I like all kind of hats. I do like hats. I love Patriot hats.
I'm going to buy it right off my head.
Yeah, Hardy, you can tell something's big about that hat. It's not like one of those little mini hats Hardy wears, like his little golf hats.
Bold.
You know, like kind of the soft tissue ones.
I don't wear those anymore.
White golf.
You had that K one, the core golf one.
That's a nice one.
It's a big one.
That's got a little form to it, but I've switched over to the form front.
This one's got some form to it.
And it's just a good looking hat.
That's a good
long story
hat.
Short, it's a good looking hat.
Where'd you get the hat?
Where do you think I got the hat?
Pro shop.
Yes.
So you actually went to the pro shop?
Fenway.
Yeah.
Got it at the garden.
Shut up.
YakiWayStore.com.
Is it a fitted hat, is it adjustable?
It's got an NFL logo on the back.
So it's actually fitted, which means they have extra large ones there.
Yeah.
It looks sweet on
my head. They've got every size you could want.
I'm going to go there after this.
You're going to get the same one?
Yep.
You're going to wear it together?
We can plan on it. Yeah. That looks good, man.
You know what you like? You like that helmet stripe, don't you?
No, I like the old Pat. Like all of their hats with the old Patriot guy on it, Pat Patriot.
Yeah.
That's the soft, non-form fitted hat in the front. That crappy one.
Jim, you should say that on the air. Say that on the air. Don't say that just in my ear. Tell everybody.
What's your problem?
Tell everybody what you
said. Jim Louth, who's been watching cut-ups of tape, the live game film, the coaches eye in the sky.
Yeah, it was good stuff. We're going to get to that
today. Go ahead, Jim. What are you saying?
Some film breakdown. He was saying
anything to avoid starting baseball.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh.
There it is. Can we get to Chris Sale now? And Dave O'Brien, who we just heard?
I kind of want to delay it more now.
Oh, now so it's going to go and it was shot.
Now it's a game.
Oh, forget it.
No, all we right. can do that.
Dave O'Brien last night, if you weren't paying close attention, he made a suggestion in there that now that Chris Sale is not throwing with full velocity, which he clearly isn't.
What, he hit about 94 last night a couple of times?
I think 93 and change. I don't know if he actually hit 94.
He's trying to do
that. Do you have access to the gun with the decimal points?
Everybody does. Brooks Baseball always has that.
Nice.
But he definitely, I mean, it's obvious. If you watched him last night, you know the velocity's not there. But
he's a pitcher, not just a guy who can throw.
Was he not a pitcher before? Was he not a guy that was
God,
good
that at, sounds like excuse making.
At pitching? I mean, come on. So now, because the velocity, he's a true pitcher. You know,
he's really morphing.
He's a true pitcher. He'll be fine without his velocity.
He's a pitcher.
Oh.
Yeah. See, I thought when they shut him down the first time, he didn't have the capability to pull back on himself, right?
Yes.
That he was tightening up and he's like overexerting. That's what they didn't want him to do. That's why they shut him down. Then all of a sudden, the shoulder didn't respond the way we wanted to. We're going to shut you down a second time. And so now in a matter of a month, a guy that you couldn't get one to do one thing or the other is all of a sudden turned into a pitcher, a creative pitcher. He's going to be different now. How do you feel with the two starts from yesterday?
What'd they tell us yesterday? 6 and 100.
Well, the GM said 90-ish.
And he didn't do either. He didn't do 6. He didn't get to 100.
He's 0-for-3.
He had to come on the middle of an inning. So I don't know. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about this. I can tell you that the velocity is a problem because you know what it tells us? He's not 100%. He's not right. There's something off about him. He's not normal Chris Sale.
Is he not right? Or are they telling
can
him
he get
not,
by? Can
to
he
not unleash it? Or can you really put a guy out there and tell him to do that?
Why would you not want to, you know, this is now after a number of rehab starts, you can't throw full velocity. I think it's that he can't. I don't think that he's scaling back. I don't think he can.
This is more an indicator that the time off is just there's some issue there. And maybe we're not going to get the full story on it until it's all said and done. That tells me that something just wasn't right for the whole month of August. And we're trying and wishing and hoping. And I think they're doing this. I think they're crossing all fingers, just thinking, okay, let's get him out there. Let's get through this. Let's give it a week. And hope he pitches his ass off next Friday during the day. It's like kind of a hope and wait and see thing now.
By the way,
you don't feel better after yesterday.
I don't put a lot of weight into what he does against the Baltimore Orioles. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, he had 8 strikeouts.
No, we said this yesterday. It's not going to be about the result or how many guys you strike out or what it is. It's how the guy looks. How do you look?
I don't love him hitting guys in the box like twice in the first inning. I don't love the lack of control when you're starting off a game.
He topped out at 94.6 on his four-seam fastball.
But he's a pitcher.
So he did hit 94. Okay. 94.
You round up. That's 95.
Well, 94.6.
You round up. It's
94.6.
Call it 95.
Both those teachers that make grades that are A's, 93 to 100 are an A. Like you get rooked on that.
Yeah, it should be 90 to 100.
90 to 100.
Yeah,
here we are.
I totally
tacking
agree with
over
that.
A point.
Totally agree with that.
The weird thing is, changeup is still like 85, though.
Well, yeah.
Well, what's that tell you?
You want like 10-mile-an-hour separation. That's what it should be.
No, he wasn't throwing 94 the whole game. He was throwing 90 the whole game.
Right.
It was 90, and then his changeup was only 5 miles an hour slower.
So Jim's point.
Because that's what his changeup is, and if you're capable of throwing 90 plus, you're capable of throwing 85. So it's going to be hard for that.
Maybe he was purposely taking a little something off the four seamer.
Maybe he's duping everybody.
No, I just think he's having trouble with his fastball, and he can throw the other pitches.
But Jim's point is he could pinpoint the changeup, but he just can't dial it up to where he could get the smoke that he wants. And, oh, boy, if that doesn't happen. Say the Yankees are in here. Pretty good lineup.
I saw the Deadspin headline last night. I had to click. Can the Red Sox trust Chris Sale? Simple question. Yes or no? How would you answer that?
Yes.
No.
No. How could you answer yes right now?
No.
How the hell do you know what this is going to look like next week?
I trust David Price more than I trust Chris Sale right now.
Trust is a close cousin to faith, and I have faith in Chris
Sale. Well, no. I'm not sure that those are the one and the same.
Can I watch the first five pitches on Friday and then answer that question? You'll know. Yeah, if he's throwing 96, 97 in the first five pitches, yes, I can trust Chris Sale.
First two fastballs of the night last night, 86.8 and 88.7.
Not ideal.
And getting there.
That was Chris Mason last night making a point to tweet that out. Hit two of the first four batters, and he had fastballs of 86.8 and 88.7. He really had to ramp it up last night. Oh, but don't worry, he's a pitcher.
Yeah, can I ask a question? Was it chilly, cold, and rainy last night?
Kind of gross.
Kind of humid. Right, humid. Meaning your muscles should be pretty loose and pretty warm.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be tight.
It was too loose.
Too loose. I just think that they have concerns, and they should have concerns. And this is no sure thing for next Friday. Here's something else that we don't think too much about. They have to win their first two games in that series next week, right?
Yeah.
If they don't win, the Price and Sale starts, and Sale or Price starts, the order it's going to go, apparently. If they don't win those two games, and let's say they leave home 1-1, 1-1 in the series, and they lose game three, and you're down 2-1, and you're in, I don't know, either Yankee Stadium or you're out in Oakland.
I mean, it should be
Yankee
Stadium.
And you're sending Nathan Eovaldi to the mound. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about your chances to keep your season alive?
I mean, he has pitched well against the Yankees. Yeah,
not very good.
But hasn't he thrown well against the Yankees, Eovaldi?
Does it matter?
Oh, yeah, if it's a confidence thing, and if you have the confidence. If you set a David Price in the Yankee Stadium, yes, it does matter.
It matters.
Because you have no confidence that guy can pitch there because he's going to pee his pants. Eovaldi, at least, is.
You're talking about Nathan Eovaldi like he's got some sort of great track record of consistency.
I still think
there's
something about.
So if he pitched well against the Yankees once or twice, like all of a sudden it's a good-to-go type of thing.
At least you were in there and you could go back on some things. That's part of being like a veteran. You walk in a certain ballpark, you have a pretty good feel about it. Sometimes you walk in a certain ballpark, you say, oh, God, it's not going to be my day. I feel like that's it for David Price down there, you know? I mean, I'd wait and see with Eovaldi. It's not like, oh, God, roll my eyes.
Call me crazy. I'm starting to get worried about the Red Sox. I'm starting to get worried
about
Sale.
Look at you. Wow.
Yeah.
they're going to hit their way to a championship.
They could. They could do it.
Yeah,
but
just
now,
like game one yesterday.
But this is the thing. As I always told you, I've always had confidence in their starting pitching. And now my confidence is eroding because of Sale. He's not right. He's not 100%. He's just, you'd look at him. Watch him last night. That's not the guy you saw when he was at his best this year. And I'm not sure we're going to get that guy next Friday or at any point this postseason. And when that, you know, starts to happen, you've got too many things going against you. The bullpen is a disaster. We know that so. But it's not fair to tell your lineup. You got to make up for the fact that your bullpen stinks and your starter is not really the ace that he normally is.
You bring up Eovaldi, too. Say one of those first two guys gets rocked and rocked early. Then you need a long stretch guy. Who's your stretch guy?
Probably Erod.
Yeah.
It's probably who it's going to be. 617-779-0985. I want to get the people's thoughts on Chris Sale last night, if you watched him, what you made of it, what you think of him right now. Last start before the playoffs. Also,
he's a pitcher now.
Comments from Alex Cora, Red Sox manager, last night about this. He didn't get to 6 or 100, so what's the deal? Alex Cora next.
Hot takes.
I am Superman.
Oh, yeah.
Wrong song. Oh.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I saw some things last week, even tonight, just not really driving off my lower half and not being able to kind of create that torque that I have in the past. And we got extended time now to kind of figure out what we need to do, and we'll go from there. Yeah, now's not the time to panic. 107 wins into the season and October ahead of us, so... you know, it is what it is. You take it in stride and try to build off of it and try to get better.
Wow. What? What are you saying? Wow.
The tone. Just say the tone. You take it for what it is. Continue to work and just try and get better. It's such just a reversal from, remember the first time he was shut down? He goes, best team on the planet.
Yeah, where's all that confidence now?
There's no bravado.
I'm worried. Nope.
No bravado, no brashness. Is there any bravado or brashness of it?
No, I don't sense
there
that.
There it is, baby. I'm ready to go
get
for the playoffs.
Get a little too close now.
That's it.
You don't think this is at the beginning here?
Yeah, now's not the time to panic. 107 wins into the season and October ahead of us. So, you know, it is what it is.
No.
It's a mix. It's hard to tell.
It's like concern.
Because he references the 107 wins.
Well, the record's what the record is. They are. They're a 107 win team right now. That's good. Damn good.
But why would you say something like now is not the time to panic? Unless
he was asked about panicking.
Because you sense panic.
No, he was asked the question, is it time to panic? Are you panicked?
Are you afraid of a black cat, Johnny?
I just think it's...
You're taking it so calmly. I'm going to see the fans of New England are kind of panicking right now. But you're taking it very calmly.
Yeah, now's not the time to panic.
All right.
I don't know. His demeanor, I mean, to be fair to Sal, he's not a, you know, extremely energetic guy. Kind of always is.
You're panicking, blood. Johnny?
He's Bledsoe, man. That's the same with Drew. You can interview Bledsoe after a loss or like a comeback win against the Vikings in overtime. Same guy. Yeah. It just sells the same guy all the time. Maybe we're reading too much into it.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Josh Beckett in 2008.
What?
I was saying this to Jim during the break. 2008, he got hurt right at the end of the season, and his availability for the playoffs was sort of unknown. And he ended up pitching. He ended up pitching in the playoffs. He had an okay year in 2008. He had an ERA over 4 that year. And so he ended up pitching in game 3 of the ALDS and then games 2 and 6 of the ALCS that year. And the Red Sox ended up losing 2 of his 3 starts. But in those starts, he went innings-wise, he went short innings. 5 innings, 4 1/3, 5 innings. Because he was limited, because he wasn't himself. He wasn't at full strength, full health. And that's what it sort of reminds me of, is they are now up against it. October is pretty much here. And the playoffs start a week from tomorrow. Keith in the truck, what do you make of Chris Sale? Keith?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi.
First time, long time.
Awesome.
Take my call.
Yeah.
So my take on this is I don't think he should have pitched in the All-Star game. All the prep work to get into it, you get out there, you throw as hard as you can for that one inning, and then he's done. They shut him down because it's the All-Star game. I think that hurt him right there.
Maybe it did. Maybe it did. I have no idea. Not sure I care at this point.
It does have that Pedro 99 feel to it, though, doesn't it?
Oh, that's another good comp. Yes.
He had to come out of the bullpen that playoffs.
Yeah.
That's right, Cleveland.
You're right, Jim. Mm. Pedro 99. Yeah, there's something to all of this that you're not 100% regardless
of
reason.
Who the hell did Pedro strike out in that All-Star game? Oh. I mean, it was crazy. That lineup. You did that. You went, you looked up that damn lineup, and we were like, holy cow. It was he gunned down some big guys.
Yeah, he did.
Think about dialing it up. Yeah.
Larkin, Walker, Sosa, McGuire. Who reached base? Was it Matt Williams that reached base? Someone got on base.
Tom says Matt Williams.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, Tom, you remember Matt Williams, but you remember Animal House. Never saw that, huh?
If you've never seen it, how could you remember something?
That comes to Tom. Of all things, comes to Tom. Matt Williams, 99 All-Star game.
Yeah, Tom was like 12. That's his prime years of baseball watching right there, 12-year-old.
No, he wasn't 12. He wasn't 12, was he?
11, 12?
11. Let's get to Alex Cora, Red Sox manager on Chris Sale.
Alex, can you talk about Chris Sale tonight?
Yeah, I mean, not great. We saw that, but we were just talking a little while ago. As soon as I took him out, he came up here to the video room. And it seems like there's something mechanically going on. He's not firing his hips the way he usually does. So, I mean, we don't have too much time. So he'll work on it this weekend. Probably Monday, he'll throw like a aggressive bullpen and see where he's at, and we go from there.
Nothing physical wrong with him.
No. I mean, obviously, you know, we saw a few 94s in the fourth inning, I want to say, right around there. Velocity wasn't great. The slider, the two that he hit, but then after that, he got a few swings and misses. Changeup was okay. It's kind of like I was talking to Dave just now. His last one in Fort Myers when he pitched against Houston, that he was throwing 87, 88, and everybody was concerned, and he got hit by line drive, and then opening didn't happen, and he pitched well. So that's what we're looking for. You know, hopefully he finds his mechanics again, and he'll be ready to go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. That makes me feel horrible.
Makes me feel sick.
Hopefully he finds his mechanics
not
again.
Not good.
They're just,
is Mr. Brute Honesty,
crossing
too.
Their fingers. He is. I love him for
then
that.
He goes, yeah, I mean,
he's not sugarcoating
something's
this.
Wrong. We went up in the film and mechanically saw something in the hips, but I tell you what, we don't got a lot of time.
What happened to him from the other day? Did you hear Corey the other day saying he wasn't concerned about velocity?
Yeah, over the weekend.
He sounds concerned after the game.
That was over the weekend.
Yeah, did you hear him say that?
He's concerned about the mechanics, though. He's not concerned about the arm being problem with the velocity.
No.
He's concerned with the mechanics.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I say
you believe mechanics are the problem?
Absolutely, because his changeup, if his arm was hurting and he was throwing slower, he wouldn't be throwing his changeup that fast. If the arm action on the changeup is going to have it at a normal speed, then the arm action on the fastball must be. He just needs to change his mechanics.
Thanks, Gene LeBron.
If you've lost strength or ability in your arm.
Oh, my God.
Why wouldn't his changeup be slower, too?
Because you're still able to throw at that speed being 85.
Some whip that's not there.
Right?
Yeah, but the ball, the grip and the resistance is what makes the velocity go down on the changeup. It's not the arm speed. The arm speed is supposed to be the same on a changeup as a fastball.
God.
But it's the way you hold the ball.
You can adjust. You can know that you don't have it. I mean,
so you're thinking he's ramping it up for the changeup and then not ramping it up on the fastball then?
Based on the way Sale sounds, based on the way the manager
I think
sounds,
he's ramping,
based on what
no,
you
no,
saw,
I think
they're hoping.
I think he's trying to throw both of them harder, and he can't. That's why he's
throwing the changeup fine.
Yeah, which would mean if he's trying harder on everything he's throwing, the changeup with extra effort would come in at the same level. And even with extra effort, he can't top out in the fastball more than 94.
Even though I believe him, I'm still concerned because he still might not find it by next week.
I think that's
the problem. That's my concern
scary.
Is that he might not find it.
That is
I'm not
scary.
Concerned about the shoulder. I'm concerned about him not finding it.
I'm concerned.
How long does it take some guys during the season
I'm
to find their mechanics when they lose them?
A month?
Who's helping him work it out?
Hopefully Pedroia.
What's
Pedroia
the plan?
Fixed price, right?
Former bullpen catcher?
Keith is in the car. Keith.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, what's up?
Just a couple of quick points on Chris Sale. In regards to the last, when he first came off the disabled list against Baltimore, he was slinging it, 97 miles an hour, struck out the 12 batters in the Orioles. So since before last start, not last night, everybody would have thought that he was in the running for the Cy Young, correct?
I'm confused. What the question?
What about his last start? I'm confused.
Before going into his last start, you could arguably say he was in the run for the
Cy Young award. Fading quickly because he wasn't playing.
But in the last five innings he's pitched, he's allowed 5 earned runs. Do you know how many runs he allowed in his previous 45 innings?
Like 2. Tell me.
One run. Okay. There's something clearly wrong when he's throwing 90.1 miles per hour. And he's topping out at 94. There's something clearly wrong with him.
Yeah, I don't need the stats. I don't need your rundown of the season. Just watch the guy pitch and you know he's not the same guy.
Yeah.
Use your eyes. The stats are obviously different. Just watch it. Watch him throw. Watch him pitch. Dave O'Brien will tell you that he's a pitcher now. Oh, it's just so refreshing. Isn't it just so nice, guys, to see that he's a pitcher now? That's just great. That's a great time for that transition to happen. Like he woke up one day and decided, I'm going to be a different type of pitcher. I'm going to be a dead. Nothing's
gonna
be wrong.
An artist. He's going to be an artist.
He's going to be a pitcher now.
Yeah. That's going to mow him down.
Forget he's a pitcher.
Be a truck driver. I'm going to be
not just
artist.
A guy who throws gas. He's a pitcher. He's just
the creativity of the sport too.
JP in North Providence. JP.
Beatles. Oh, good morning.
Hey, bye. JP.
Hey, so you remember the original Airplane movie? And
yeah, sure, we all do.
Bridges is running around going, I picked a bad day to sniff glue, and I picked a bad day to give up amphetamines, and he's going around like a nut.
Yep.
I'm thinking about Sale. If Sale was okay, he wouldn't say, now's not the time to panic. He'd say, I got this, we're okay. I'm worried. Now we're changing his mechanics a week before the playoffs. He's hitting batters. I'm nervous.
You should be.
You think JP speaks jive?
I'm not sure.
Oh, that was one of my favorite that movie, boy.
I speak jive.
How about when a pilot went down? Remember that? I had to go in there and inflate the...
The inflatable autopilot.
Shut up, Mama. I dug a rap.
What you talking about?
You're Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
What's her name, that actress? She was good.
I'm a pilot.
That makes you laugh.
Yeah, that movie makes me laugh a lot.
All right.
Oh, God.
Zoe's going to keep laughing about Airplane. Hardy's going to give us headlines. Good?
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle. 98.5, the Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines.
Red Sox split the doubleheader with the Orioles yesterday. They won the early game 19-3, but lost last night 10-3. Chris Sale got the start.
This is what these starts have been for, building blocks. I feel like we've gotten enough work in and been able to get my pitch count up enough so where I'll be ready for it.
3 earned runs on 4 hits with a walk, 8 strikeouts, 4 1/3 innings for Sale last night. Sox have the night off before the Yankees visit Fenway over the weekend. Bruins fell to the Red Wings at the TD Garden last night, 3-2 in overtime. One more preseason game Saturday at home against the Flyers. Regular season starts on Wednesday next week. NFL Week 4 begins tonight. The 1-1-1 Vikings visit the undefeated L.A. Rams. Patriots continue their work for the Dolphins. They're coming in Sunday. Yesterday, the team put Juwan Bentley and Rex Burkhead on injured reserve. They added John Simon, defensive end, and officially announced the return of running back Kenyon Barner. Headlines are brought to you by, Drs. Robert Leonard and Matthew Lepresti, the hair doctors of Fred Tutcher at 1-800-GET-HAIR. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sure is quiet out there.
Yeah, too quiet.
Bridges is running around going, I picked a bad day to sniff glue.
I picked the wrong week. Quit sniffing glue.
Yep.
I'm panicking about Sale.
Not the time to panic.
I'm not sure how the Airplane sniffing glue relates to Sale saying panic, but I'll take it. I'll take it. Let's go to Jake, who's in Gloucester. All right, Chris Sale, what's up, Jake?
I do agree with
whoever said the changeup thing, it is exactly what he said. It's all in the gripping of it. Wow. The velocity is a little concerning, clearly. But 5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when he was out there and he was whipping it 98, 99, we're all complaining, why is he out there whipping it, like saying he could get hurt? Now when he's not whipping it 99,
who said that?
Baltimore,
I didn't say
Orioles,
that.
The worst team.
I don't know
if it was you guys.
Wasn't.
I don't know if it was you guys or if it was Felger and Maz. I was just listening and I heard it. And I don't know. That's just what I heard. And it's
what do you think,
weird.
Jake? Now, what do you believe?
I think it's a little concerning with the velocity, but I don't think he should be out there in the last game of the season, just like we said about Mookie Betts sliding into first base last night on Baseball Reporters.
He's got a pitch, though. He's got to work his way back up to being able to complete a full start.
That does make sense, but at the same time, it is the Baltimore Orioles, and he can do that in a bullpen.
The opponent doesn't matter. Exactly. If he can do it in the bullpen, why does it matter if he's doing it in a real game against the Orioles? The games don't mean anything. The opponent doesn't even really factor in.
No, it doesn't.
These games are meaningless. This is the perfect way to get him back in. Why is he pitching? Because he hasn't pitched a full start. Because he finally stretched out to 90 last night. That's why.
You think they're worried?
They should
like,
be.
Honestly. Last night, I think Cora's tone has totally changed from what it was last Sunday. I know we were in Detroit.
Cora sounds worried.
When's the last time he pitched? Sunday, right? And it was okay? I can't recall the day. He pitched Sunday, didn't he?
Friday.
So he hasn't pitched since Friday. What was the comment on Sunday? So Cora made that comment Sunday.
Sunday prior.
Okay. Oh, Sunday prior.
It was two starts
okay,
ago.
Okay. I got my days mixed up.
617-779-0985. Let's go to Kyle in the car who's been hanging on. I think he's got a Patriots point. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I'm just really upset about this wide receiver core right now. I mean, it's like Brady's throwing a Joe Schmo out there. None of these guys can get open. I mean, I don't blame him for flipping his helmet in frustration. Yeah, he missed the OTAs or whatever, but half the guys that went to OTAs aren't even on the team anymore.
You know? I'm more concerned he missed the first two third down throws of the game as we've gone back and watched them now. And I'm with you at the beginning there where you really feel like he's got nothing to work with. And generally, I don't think he does. But boy, did he Colbert miss the first two third down throws of the game.
Including one to Hogan.
Grotesque missed throws. Like, I bet he's sick after seeing that. Like, it was there. There were guys open at times, which goes to the Gronkowski comment from yesterday, which I know we'll get to, about, you know, we could play with what we have. Because I think they went back and looked at the film and, wow, we got guys open. It's not as bad as it seemed Sunday. Sunday felt like calling a game and watching it, and sometimes you see a guy get covered because initially when he's open, you know, and if Brady doesn't throw it, the guy ends up getting covered. It's all time. The whole offense is predicated on timing and going with the ball in the right spot. But going back and looking at it on film a little bit, you could have had two easy pickups on third down to start that football game.
We'll be getting to some football. Scott Gramling is going to join us next segment for the fantasy lineup. And don't forget, two chances today to win Patriots tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Two chances, 11:30 and 1:30. Here on Zolak and Bertrand, 11:30 and 1:30.
Sunday's
on this show
nice.
Today, we're giving away two pairs of tickets. Joe and Revere, how you doing, Joe?
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hey, my man Joe, where you been?
So I've been in the hospital, Joe.
I hope you're better.
You know, I've been sick. Yes, I'm getting better.
Good
and
boy.
I'm working at the airport. But anyways, hey, all that stuff is history. But everybody's panicking about these Red Sox. They got to calm down. Seal's going to be just fine. He just went out there to loosen up, you know. He still struck out 10, didn't he?
Struck out 8. I'm more concerned about his velocity.
I don't care about the results.
His ability to stay in the game.
Yeah. How did he look?
Yes. How did he look?
Joe doesn't seem concerned.
Joe doesn't seem to get too concerned about anything.
Could be all that jet fuel he's smelling.
He does not seem to get too worked up over things. I think it's one of his better qualities. Joe has. Adam's on the Cape today. Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is my first time calling.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for joining the show.
My question basically is, if Josh Gordon ends up being the player that we think he's going to be, What do you think we're going to do with him?
I don't know what he's going to be. I don't know what to think he's going to be. Yeah, long will he ever get to the point of what we want him to be?
I have no idea what he's going to be.
That's the mystery, man.
Well, my question is, if he is as good as we hope he can be, would we sign him to some kind of contract that would be incentive-based, like Gronk, because we don't really trust him? Or are we just going to let him walk after a year? And what was the point of it is what I'm saying. Well,
He's a restricted free agent, so they can keep him at a very low price for next year.
So you think we would hold on to him and take another gamble?
I don't. I got to see him play first. I can't even begin to attempt to answer that question.
If he plays well, they will. If he plays well and finishes the season,
Jesus, they kept Kenny.
He'll be here next year.
They kept Kenny Britt all offseason.
He'll be here.
They were banking on Kenny freaking Britt. What did he show you last year? Ball's in motion and catching a ball in Pittsburgh?
Paul's in Pembroke. Paul.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Just quick question. What's up with the helmet with Brady? I keep seeing it one way and the other. I know there was a thing about the end of the year or something and they had to be done by, but if I'm not mistaken, he went back to the old helmet. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, this is the last year he can do it. He's grandfathered in, but after this season, he has to wear a newer helmet.
That's a good question. I don't know. Something bugged him about the other one.
Yeah, because, I mean, I know you guys were talking about it a while ago, and, you know, he seemed to have adapted to it. I mean, Zoe, you played, you know, with the helmet. You know the view and all that, seeing out of it and so forth. And then when I was watching, I said, he's back to the old helmet again. So I wasn't sure if they made a big deal out of it or it was just something he keeps switching.
No, you know who's making a big deal out of this? You know who's making a big deal out of it? Tom Brady's making a big deal out of this. Back and forth and talking about the helmets.
Snap.
Is it that we haven't heard this from any other player in the NFL that used to wear the old helmet and now wears a different helmet?
Aaron Rodgers keeps his old one on. Drew Brees keeps his old one on. Just keep your old one.
And are they going to talk about it as much as people here have talked about it for Brady?
Was this part of the deal where, okay, I'm going to show you I'm going to wear the new one because that means I'm going to play past this.
As far as I know, he had the old one on last night, last Sunday night,
yeah,
right?
He
missed a bunch of throws. So I don't think the helmet had anything to do with it.
I say put the new one back on.
Yeah, put your new one back on and you'll be fine. There's stuff about the helmet.
And he should wear that hat on the sideline.
He should. He'd look better.
He should get
him. He should wear
team.
It to the podium.
You know how many they'd sell?
He should wear it to the podium is what he should do. He should be a team guy again for once. Or a Patriots hat instead of his own branded TB12 hat.
Those are nice hats, though.
Yeah. Now, you know, you've got a bunch of them.
I have two of them.
Yeah. A bunch. Bunch of hats. Scott Gramling's going to join us next. We'll set your fantasy lineup for the weekend, and we'll get to Rob Gronkowski coming up at the top of the hour. Don't forget, Patriots tickets, your first chance to win at 11:30.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
One, two,
Zoe doesn't have a fantasy pick this week. He got distracted. He was tied up doing this and that.
Yeah. It's called Fortnite.
Is that what was going on?
Kid took my phone. They had like multiple devices. They play Fortnite with each other. Yeah.
And so you didn't have your phone?
Yeah, he was playing on it.
So while we kept asking you who's your pick, didn't even have your phone.
Then by the time I checked it was like too late.
Yeah. Well, Scott Gramling is with us. He's our fantasy expert. Hi, Scott.
Hey, guys. We were on such a roll, too. I hope not having Zoe's pick doesn't hurt us.
You know what? When Jim started to ask me about this, I started looking. I had no clue I was going to take this week anyway.
153.44 was the score of our lineup last week on DraftKings.
Yes. In a relatively down week compared to across the league, compared to the first 2 weeks. So, I mean, we cashed again. We've cashed three straight weeks. And look, we look to keep it going here. And now it's a two-man army instead of our three-man army.
I will admit, this week I went with an expensive pick, Scott. I hope you're not mad at me. I went with a guy who doesn't represent a value, but a guy who I think is going to perform. And it's Melvin Gordon. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I like Gordon a lot here. Oh. I really do.
Ooh.
I think that.
Oh. You know what? Hold on a second. I was thinking about picking Melvin Gordon, and I didn't pick him. And then I looked at our lineup and thought, oh, yeah, my pick was Gordon. I ultimately didn't pick him. I went with Kerryon Johnson, tells me I was on the right track with that expensive one. And I'm like, oh, no, forget it. I picked Kerryon Johnson. I'm already forgetting. What a terrible week this is for us already.
No, that's look, that's all right. I put Gordon in the lineup, though. Gordon was the first one I put in after I put in your Kerryon Johnson pick.
You go ahead on either one. You talk about both.
All right. I think with Melvin Gordon, this is a game with Garoppolo out that you could see a lot of running from the Chargers in the second half. It's a double-digit spread. And I think that when you looked at the rest of the top of the running backs, they all came with question marks, whether it's the matchup or whether it's somebody dinged up with an injury. I think Gordon is the most sure thing among the running backs this week, and especially when you consider a matchup.
Wow.
I mean, if Garoppolo was in there, I think it could have been a little bit of a shootout.
I should have stuck with this pick. You would have been proud of me for the first time this season.
You know what? Let's do this. Being that Zoe didn't give a pick, we can share each of these picks.
Okay. What about Johnson? Right. Is that I like Johnson against Dallas. Sean Lee is out again, and they're not good against the run.
Ah, Sean Lee's hurt again. Yeah. Taxes and Sean Lee injuries.
The thing about Sean Lee, though, is I feel like now with Jalen Smith and with Leighton Vander Esch that they have capable backups. I think in the past it's been not only have they lost Lee, but the drop-off from Lee to whatever stiff they would put in there, whether it's Rolando McClain or Hitchens, that was such a severe drop-off it really hurt the Cowboys. It'll be interesting to see how much they're really hurt by Lee being out, because I think certainly longer term and maybe even right now, guys like Jalen Smith and Vander Esch just far more athletic than what Sean Lee is at this point in his career. So, you know, Cowboys are middle of the pack in terms of run defense against running backs, but I think Kerryon Johnson being only 4,400 makes it a very solid value pick, you know, coming off what he did against the Patriots and the fact that Lee is out, so there is some uncertainty. I think 44 is good value. I feel like right around 5,000 is where I would have put Kerryon Johnson. So I think getting him there saves us a little bit of money.
All right, what else do we have in the lineup? We got two guys already, two running backs.
Yeah, I'm stacking Eli Manning and Odell Beckham. Ooh. I just think that they showed.
Are you sure about that?
Sure?
You're waiting from the pop.
Ooh.
God, you guys were killing me a couple weeks ago when I did Matt Ryan. I mean, look, it's all about value in DraftKings, right?
A stack guy.
This
stack
is Eli.
This is Eli.
Oh, I don't know. That Pat Shurmur offense showed signs of life against the Texans. And look at the defense, the pass defense of the Saints is just absolutely atrocious. They're giving up 11.2 yards per attempt, and they haven't been facing a Johnny Unitas-type quarterbacks. I mean, they've gone against Tyrod Taylor. They've gone against Fitzpatrick. I know Fitzpatrick's been putting up numbers, but I mean, you know, let's be honest here, guys. And they went against Matt Ryan when we chose Matt Ryan, and he put up an awful lot of numbers. I just think that you look at the Saints secondary, and you look at the slot, the nickel cornerback, Patrick Robinson, broke his ankle. He's on injured reserve. They've got P.J. Williams, who ended up filling in at nickel against Atlanta. He had been benched, playing on the outside, struggled against Ridley. I just think this is a spot here for Eli Manning and Odell Beckham with the prices you can get them at. $5,600 for Eli Manning, to me, is it's just a bargain going against that Saints defense. I feel like when you look up and down at the quarterback options, you know, at $5,600, you're looking at guys like, you know, Case Keenum is $5,600, Tannehill's $5,500. To me, Eli Manning in this matchup is much better.
The lineup to this point, Eli Manning, Kerryon Johnson, Melvin Gordon, and Odell Beckham Jr. Talk to me about another one of your receiver picks and Tyler Boyd, who appears to be emerging in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I like this one a lot. A.J. Green left the game last week against who were they playing? I can't even remember. They were playing the Panthers, and he left with that groin injury. Looks like he's going to play, but he might be limited. And Tyler Boyd really is coming on at $4,600. That's a colossal bargain. And I got T.Y. Hilton going against the Texans, $7,000. I just feel like you know, he's held in relative check against the Eagles. This is a much better spot for him here. I end up going with Trey Burton. I know I'd gone with him week one. It was kind of disappointing against the Packers. The Buccaneers are giving up tons of fantasy points to opposing tight ends. Of course, Chris Conte is no longer in the lineup. He's in IR, so nobody's going to be able to shove him to the ground and then run 75 yards for a touchdown. But I think Burton is still a solid start there. I'm going with the Cardinals D against the Seahawks at only 2,600. And then that left me with a flex spot, and I went with Calvin Ridley. And I normally hate taking a guy that's coming off a big week, but he was only 4,900. And going against that Bengals defense, I just think it showed Ridley is now the number two receiver there. And finally, what the Falcons are doing, they have a number two receiver for when Jones gets bracketed and he gets coverage over the top. It's opening up room for Ridley, who really broke out against the Saints. It's not as easy a spot as it was against the Saints, but I feel like at 4,900, yeah, that's a kind of bargain to round up the lineup.
That game could turn into a shootout.
I kind of think with so those too,
two,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Not great defenses and just two quarterbacks could put up points. Yeah.
And the Falcons defense that's completely banged up.
Plus, it's Jim Murray's guy. That's the guy who was drafted between Isaiah Wynn and Sony Michel. So, yeah,
right.
Jim Murray's all fired up about it.
Are you avoiding Patriots right now in lineups?
Yeah, why aren't you taking like Josh Gordon this week?
Well, it's a serious question. Are you avoiding Patriots given the problems they've had offensively?
Yeah, I think so. I've just been, I think Hogan is miscast as a slot receiver. I think that, Dorsett had the good first week, but not surprised he hasn't done much since. And the running back rotation still needs to figure itself out. So I think it's really tough to find value among any of those guys. And Brady's still a name brand quarterback. He's the third highest priced quarterback going into this week. And it's just not good value when you're looking at DraftKings.
Mm. All right. So the lineup is this: Eli Manning, Kerryon Johnson, Melvin Gordon, Odell Beckham Jr., T.Y. Hilton, Tyler Boyd, Trey Burton, Calvin Ridley, and the Cardinals defense.
It's a good looking lineup, don't you think, Phil?
I like it.
You don't like Eli.
The only guy I don't like is Eli. That's the only guy I don't like.
You guys killed me on Matt Ryan, and he came through. So let's hope this happens again here. We're looking for a fourth straight week of cashing. That's pretty good.
Oh, all right, boy. Cash every week so far. Scott Gramling on Twitter @ScottGramling. Thanks, bud. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right, Scott Gramling with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. I just don't like Eli. I don't have an issue with anybody else in that lineup, but just Eli, man.
It looks old and slow.
Yeah.
There's something funky about him this year. Just like the look about him.
But let's hope for the best. Scott has rarely, if ever, steered us wrong.
Right. Don't let your rooting instincts take over here.
Fantasy football is not real football.
It's making money.
Right?
It's about making money.
But plugging away and getting those stats. We're going to hear from Rob Gronkowski after these headlines with Hardy. 90 seconds, no commercials. Patriots tickets at 11:30.